That was The Best Things in Life Are Free by Melbourne Ska Orchestra. Graham Kemlow has been a specialist writer on the business events sector for more than 20 years, and this city, Melbourne, is one of the best cities in the world at running business events. It generates hundreds of millions of dollars to the local economy. But what's happened since the pandemic hit? Graham checks in with the CEO of Melbourne Convention Bureau, Julia Swanson.
Welcome to Travel Writers Radio, Julia.
Thanks, Graham. Great to talk to you today.
Yeah, lovely to have you there too. Now, obviously, the situation in Melbourne is that you're probably having a bit of a tough job just doing your job right now. What is the situation as far as the Bureau is concerned with COVID?
Sure. Look, first of all, I would say the business event sector has been hit hard right across Australia, but certainly in Victoria over the last 6 months. The state government released the roadmap yesterday based on the modelling and health advice, and MCB, like all other Victorians, is following those guidelines as they are released. So,
yep.
For us, we're focusing on what we can do instead of what we can't do, and many areas of our business are still operating as normal. So we're very much focused on the future and evolving our products and services and looking forward to the long-term delivery of the sector.
Right. Now, in the old days, we used to call it MICE, meetings, incentives, conventions, exhibitions, I think is what it broadly stood for. So I guess most of those things are effectively just not happening now, are they?
Look, Graham, that is right. I think business events was one of the first sectors to feel the full effects of the travel restrictions and mass gathering bans. So largely all the events in 2020 have either postponed or cancelled. And it's a challenging time. It's across our whole supply chain, which has venues, exhibition companies, AV, tech suppliers, catering companies, hotels, production. There's a whole raft of businesses that sit behind us. So
sure.
It's certainly been a challenging time, but I think the industry is working very well together to support the clients that had confirmed events for Melbourne. So we've certainly been working with all the events that were due to be held in the city this year, and pleasingly, about 70% have chosen to reschedule their event rather than cancel. So
right.
we're pretty happy about that outcome in the short term. And then I guess in the long term, the sentiment is a bit more optimistic. The research shows that both domestic and international research shows that there's a strong appetite for the sector to return. Face-to-face events are still very much important to many sectors and many individuals. Obviously, there's been an acceleration in hybrid meetings, and I think they will stay and they will complement the face-to-face component. That's certainly been a trend that we've seen. But when we are bidding for international business events, we're generally bidding sort of 4 to 9 years in advance of an event. So in many ways, the bidding area is bidding for events beyond coronavirus, and we have a very strong long-term pipeline for the city of over $500 million worth of business events. So we're very optimistic. We're still winning some events. Decision-making is a little bit slower, but there are certainly plenty of clients that are planning for their long-term future, and many of the larger events that were already confirmed for the city, such as the World Rotary Convention, the World Lions Convention, the World Ophthalmology Convention, and some of them are sort of in the vicinity of 10 to 15,000 people each between 2022 and 2024.
Yep.
And they're still planning to go ahead. So
right.
It's certainly there's some optimism for the long-range outlook for our sector.
Right. So I guess in line with what we're hearing from the federal government, would you have any confidence about events in the first 6 months of next year, or do you need to sort of look past that?
Yeah, look, it's still a bit of an unknown. We're obviously working with state government on what the roadmap out looks like. There were some announcements yesterday. I'm sure there will be more to come in the following weeks, and we will continue to support that. The events industry is certainly keen to restart, but it's also important that we do it in a very safe and sustainable way. So we will continue to do that, and we're working with all our clients individually to make decisions on their events next year. Everyone's in a different situation, so we're supporting that. Certainly virtual and hybrid events will be more of a focus, I think, in the short term. So many clients have had to take their meetings virtual out of necessity this year, and certainly many are looking to hold face-to-face events next year, supported with a hybrid component. So we're working with a number of clients about on their events next year.
Right. Now, your main focus is obviously to get whatever national events travel around the country into Melbourne on rotation, perhaps, but international events are really the big prize for you. Do you have any sort of is there any indication as to whether Melbourne is being considered perhaps not as safe as it once might have been?
Look, I think, first of all, that the Australian government and in turn the Victorian government's response to coronavirus will play in our favour in the long term.
Right.
Health and safety is a major consideration, always has been for the business events sector, but I think it's fair to assume that that will increase in importance. So the better outcome from a health perspective will also positively contribute to how the destination's perceived in the medium to long term. So we're continuing to work with all the business event suppliers on collating their COVID safe information, providing that to clients, and really helping them inform their future event decisions. But I think, look, the fact Australia is still seen as safe, it's still seen as clean, green, lots of open air events. We do events outside of the city as well as in the city. There's a lot of different options. So I think Australia is still seen in the global context as very fortunate.
Right. Do you think that that this past year you've had to pivot any way to other target markets? Have you had to embrace destinations that are perhaps new?
Yeah, sure.
How might that have changed?
Look, it hasn't changed dramatically. Obviously, it's a complex one for us as we look at domestic and international markets. And every country is at a different stage of their coronavirus journey. And some of them move forward out of a stage and then they go back. So it's continually evolving. So we have to be agile in assessing all our markets and talking to clients all around the world. And we have 4 overseas offices that provide us great insights in terms of how those markets are tracking. So, look, the international market, as I mentioned earlier, is still has a strong appetite to meet again. And some of those long-range business events are very keen to continue to come to Melbourne. So that's fantastic. How the, I guess, reopening of the sector works, both in Victoria and across Australia, you know, will shape where we do business. You know, it's fair to assume that there'll be an increased focus in domestic business events initially, particularly while the international borders are closed. And then, you know, we could probably expect to see some travel bubbles or some short-haul locations such as New Zealand or some of the Asian countries open. So we will work with them in turn as it becomes more practical to do business.
Do you think that maybe the US and Western Europe are now targets that you could look at? I mean, we obviously do talk to them, but they don't generate a lot of meetings business down here in the Southern Hemisphere, do they?
Look, they've been quite important markets for us. So in previous years, the US has actually been our number one market for large inbound conventions. The business event sector is very, today has been quite strong over there. How they move through recovery is probably still yet to be seen. But and the European market is is very strong for conventions. So it's the home of international associations. Many are hubbed in Geneva or Paris or Brussels, but they do have a global outlook. So I don't see any dramatic changes from those sectors, certainly in the long term.
Okay, and what about Asia?
Look, Asia, obviously it's the fastest growing region in the world. All the countries within Asia have, I guess, a different approach or at different stages of their coronavirus journey. We're certainly seeing some green shoots out of China at the moment. Their domestic business event sector has reopened, and they're certainly engaging in conversations about future business travel to Australia. So they're probably the most advanced, and but we're working with clients across all parts of Asia. There's certainly a lot of appetite to travel again, and we will work with them as borders start to reopen. But a lot of work can be done in the meantime, even though you can't physically get here. What we can do is work to inspire our clients and educate them on what the options are available, so that when people are in a position to make hard bookings, then they can. So that work continues, and we've done a lot of work in how we communicate with clients in a digital way to remain engaged.
Okay. Now, perhaps not all of our listeners would understand that some people come here for meetings, but some come as part of a reward, mostly out of the corporate sector. That's called the incentive market. How big is that for us? And do you think that COVID is going to put a bit of a dent in that, that may not recover as quickly?
The corporate meeting and incentive sector is quite strong for Melbourne. We have some really strong offerings, both in the, I guess, product of the city. It's an exciting, creative, innovative city with great food and wine and coffee and galleries and all those things that people love to visit when they do a city stay. But we have a raft of great experiences across regional Victoria, from, you know, 1 hour to 3 hours. You can ski, you can see penguins, you can drink wine, you can go to spa resorts. There's such a raft of options there. So, look, I think it will return. It might return slowly, as the corporate travel sector will, just for regular business travel, as companies restart their operations and get people back into the offices. But I think also just getting people back together, and that's one of the benefits of incentives, of creating better connections with your employees, getting those employees focused on the company and its objectives, and rewarding people. So I think mental well-being of people and getting people refocused back on supporting company objectives will also fit well into that future direction.
Julia Swanson of Melbourne Convention Bureau spoke to Graham Kemlow earlier.